Jones site credible. I think Alex Jones' numbers secretly are very down, Daryl. I think that there's a big fraud going on his numbers. I think a lot of people have been witnessing the news. Okay, there'll still be some amoeba intellect level people there, but the facts are large numbers of people who were on Alex Jones before and probably might have had a quick look on your site and gone away with their hair on fire. Fantastic expression.
Yeah.
Run away with their hair on fire because it was too frightening. They've seen this stuff and they've said, I ran from this before, and you know, this guy here is not promoting it. I think he's losing people en masse. I think that we're winning people en masse. They've not found us yet, but they've all started, whether it's the pensioners in the UK, whether it's people who've looked at what's gone on this year and just become angry and realise this isn't a benign group anymore. There is a massive ocean of people out there who have started moving. They've turned off, they've dropped out, Darrell, and this is the beginning of the end, and I think they're aware of what those numbers really look like. Murdoch posted a $4.3 billion loss. Nobody's listening to him or his mouthpieces anymore. He's losing.
Well, I mean, you know, Mohammed, I mean, I'm watching, TV4 or ITN or ITV or whatever of the many channels there are from Britain. And, of course, you know, Channel 4, of course, has got the Big Brother on every channel. And if you're not watching Big Brother, you're watching some other sickening tripe. I mean, very, very, very bad television, awful television. Stuff that, you know, beyond mindless. And how do I know it's on there? Because I press buttons, go through the channels. And I often settle on nature shows or, you know, talking about the Serengeti, or there's something there that will occupy my time while I'm thinking about other things. I like to watch a little nature stuff on TV, and because I can't always be sitting here in front of my computer, I go down and relax and talk to my wife. The quality of television, and like you said before, is dropping. The news I never watch except to find out what they're lying about. And I do it. There are more pickles. And here's the thing that you said correctly. Every migration away from their camp is never a return. Nobody ever goes back toward them. There's only people leaving. So what we have here is every week that we've been able to keep the world from going into anarchy is a week we win. And this is why I keep telling people violence is the last thing you want to do. Violence is the last thing you want to allow happen around you. Because if violence breaks out, we're going to be in a pitched battle immediately to keep ourselves on air and to keep ourselves telling this story. Why? Because the way we win this is for us to stay calm, level-headed, and to work this effort of truth into the mainstream so that we keep gaining converts. See, Mohammed, you said it right. The everybody who becomes a pickle, they can't become a cucumber again.
No, people don't like liars, Daryl, and once they understand that these people have been lying to them, two things. People don't like to be duped in the first instance. You feel like you've been a sucker.
Yep.
Oh, so there's a lot of people who are going to have just natural resentment. Oh, wow, how did I fall for this? Then you've got the fact that people just genuinely don't like liars. If there's a liar in the workplace, the boss doesn't trust him, his wife doesn't trust him, nobody trusts liars. It's very simple. So these people, they're being exposed as liars, they're being exposed as official mouthpieces. People are just not going to go back. We will become the new mainstream. Politicians are starting to tune in. The mainstream media are starting to tune in to our vibrations, to use the 60s term, and say, oh, well, we better run the David Kelly story because everybody knows about it already. Let's make it look like it's us that's championing it. There was a quote from Adolf Hitler that said one of the fastest ways to get to power is to find a parade and march at the front of it. This is the old bandwagon idea. The fact of the matter is that this is about truth-telling, and I will be a witness, Darrell, of how how many, literally hundreds of people over the last 4 years who would not get involved, who would not be interviewed, who would not discuss this subject with you, and they are all starting to do a volt face. They're all doing a full 180 degree turn, and that's proof that this battle has now been won. We're not mopping up yet, but the mopping up is going to start, because this battle, as far as I'm concerned, it's been to be the new mainstream. The old mainstream is dead.
Hold on for one. I mean, you know, David Shiler was running around Britain putting out the truth or parts of the truth about 9/11. Certainly he didn't blame Zionism or Judaism, but he did say it was an inside job. And he was getting a lot of response from his efforts. And all of a sudden, you know, his big hulking body, about 230 pounds worth of him, disappears. And he's gone for about 8 months, and he comes back, and he's about 160 pounds. It looked like somebody had taken lots of his body fat off or something. I know what the heck happened to him. And then another 3 months, 4 months goes by, and he comes back as Lola. You know, and of course, what does that do to us? What does that do to people like you, me, everybody else? It hurts a little bit. It's kind of like what Rents does with Bigfoot in another way, in a different way. But, you know, why would you follow these people? This guy, Shiler, you know, now his name's Lola. and of course, that hurts. Now, what I see Alex Jones doing is, and of course, he does tell you a lot of the truth, Alex Jones does. He brings you right up to the doorstep of the facts, and then he veers you off when you know, before you enter into the real truth of everything. But now he's doing this real crazy act, real absolute lunatic act. It almost seems like he's committing mainstream suicide in front of us all. And you've got to see it. If you see this, you're going to think this guy is barking mad, no doubt.
Well, I think I've always thought that he is barking mad for other reasons, Darrell. You know, the inability for him to take things straight. I very rarely have ever visited his site. I've never watched his videos or listened to him speak. He's a guy that, you know, from the first day I knew was wrong, because I've seen so many people involved in misleading people. So I never paid much attention to him. He's always put up current news articles. He's always put up some opinions of people that he wishes to associate with himself. Will he implode himself at the end? I think he's got no choice now, Darrell, because people are, you know, I mean, as I just said, the lowest common denominator in society saw the last incursion into Gaza.
Yes.
And the illegal use of weapons, the mass bombings, the sheer naked terror inflicted on those people, and then they've seen Madoff and this massive Ponzi scheme, defraud, the largest fraud in history, or official fraud in history, of $50 billion, which I don't think is correct, but that's the way people...
No, the largest fraud in history is still continuing. It's in the trillions from the American government and taxpayer and the British taxpayer. So
that's right, the Fed and the Bank of England.
Yeah.
And then we have this... organ donating, which is utterly repulsive to the human mind.
Yep.
The conduct there, holding guns to the head of people in poverty, giving them $8,000 for a kidney, selling it on for $250,000. They've managed to repulse people through their own conduct once they've been exposed.
Well, it's like his name is Rabbi Hannibal Lecter, for crying out loud. I mean, you know, and one of the things is that there were religious leaders involved, and it also looked to me, and my political take on it, and Noel kind of went with me on this one too, and so have some of my listeners, that the Judaism as a whole is destroyed by it. However, power-wise, within the Jewish community, it's one less group that the Lubavitch has to contend with in order to mop up full control. And, you know, of course, these people have been expanding almost beyond anything anybody could imagine. They're in every major city in the world right now. And I don't know that the Lubavitch is directly tied to these people, although they work together in every instance with Zionists, because I don't think the Zionists have any religious interests at all. I think they're just about money, power, and an illness. But the Lubavitch is also about power and control, and they've been working together for some time.
Well, of course, the link to the Zoharites and the Rothschilds is totally and fully established. It's known that the leader of the Zoharite movement, the Sabbatian movement, Frank, actually visited Amschel Mayer before he changed his name to Rothschild in Frankfurt, and it was after the visit of Frank that Rothschild actually changed his name. He became a follower of Frank and the Zoharite movement at that time, and the family have been Zoharites from very early on within that movement. So the connection, therefore, into the Lubavitch is utterly established.
Yeah, and now when you see the it's a rampant expansion into almost every nation in the world, they're represented in Vietnam and China and India, and that Mumbai attack, which we talked about months ago, was run right out of that Luby Center, and of course they were stockpiling guns and weapons and bullets weeks and weeks in advance of the attack, with the full knowledge of the rabbi running that center. And they talk about it in this article I put up today from a Jew himself, from an Israeli Jew. Now, I don't agree with everything that's in that article, but I do agree that this guy knows that Lubavitch was involved, and he says so pretty plainly. And he says it goes back to Zionism, and he said Zionism and the Lubavitch have an unholy alliance going on, and they work together on a day-to-day basis in all of these crimes. So, you know, again, rabbi is a rabbi to the outside world, so them selling organs hurts the Lubies as well, hurts every Jew in the world. And the other thing I want to bring up right now before we call this a show here is to be clear that every Jew isn't involved here. Muhammad, you know, I'm thinking today when I was talking to a friend of mine, there are a lot of Jews out there, secular Jews, not interested in religion. I know it. I grew up with a guy that he played a little sports. He wasn't very good, but he played, and he showed up at the basketball courts, and his dad owned a small store, and he's Jewish, and, you know, he wasn't interested in didn't do much with the religion, I could tell. You know, he wasn't running around with a kippah on his head and doing all that stuff. He married a Gentile girl. And last time I was home, I saw his friend of his, and I asked how he was doing, and he's doing fine and everything, but his father's store went bankrupt, and he lost the store. And I said, so what's he doing? He says, well, right now he's working for another store of a similar type of store as an employee. So my point is this, that this guy is not one of the movers and shakers. He's not over there putting Mumbai bombs out and shooting people in hotels after Kissinger leaves and the rest of it. And he's married to a Gentile girl. And so that's not a unique story. You remember some years ago, Jews were leaving Judaism left, right, and center, marrying outside of their religion. And so my point is this, is not all Jews are involved, Muhammad. And you know it as well as I do, that some of them are not even religious in any way. And
one of the reasons for the creation of anti-Semitism is not just, ironically enough, I've read articles about this, not just for the Zionist purposes, but also there have been some rabbis who supported the Zionist idea that it might frighten Jews into marrying within their own faith or community, and actually put them off marrying outside of their community by thinking that they would be vulnerable by leaving the community. So there are even some anti-Zionist groups, or not necessarily anti-Zionist, Zionist neutral groups within sack of Judaism, but didn't want the size of their congregations to shrink, because obviously then the donations dry up. The rabbis have a vested interest in keeping as many people in the community as possible for their own donations and for their own power base. So, you know, these ideas have been supported on that basis alone, because they were losing members of their own community at a frightening rate for them at one stage. Their hair was on fire about that issue.
Well, but you know, at the same time, so these people, I mean, at some point they're going to be identified possibly as Jewish, but I certainly know they're not powwowing with Rothschild, and they're not pulling a mat off, and they're not doing that stuff. So And for me to turn my ire or my anger or my and point my finger at them would be to make myself as bad as the people I want to get out of power. I would become as bad as the people I'm fighting. And I'm loath to even consider anything like that. And this is why I see, you know, people like this guy Kurt Maynard or some of these other people out there who have been writing. Actually, some decent information comes out of some of the things they write. But in the next instance, I start reading down, and they talk about all Jews. And they talk about, well, they also talk about black people being, 10 times more likely to rape a white woman and all this other stuff. And I don't care even if that's statistically correct. In order, when you say something like that, and you put that out into the ether, into the mainstream, what you've actually done is you've placed at risk people who are of good character and good heart, and don't deserve that kind of threat being leveled against them. And I'm not about that. I'm about identifying criminals, informing people who have been in a fog, and waking them up, and then having good people of good character turn on these criminals. And it seems like it's working, but I want to make sure everyone out there knows I'm not against all Jews, I'm against criminals. And that is my goal here, is to stop the criminal element within this sect of people and get them out of our lives. However that, but by all means and any means necessary in order to succeed at that, but I won't do it at the expense of innocent people. Just won't do it. What do you think?
Absolutely, Dan. We don't want anybody who's not been involved in these procedures and these shenanigans. We don't want them to be held liable. Of course not. There are people who are clearly guilty. What it's about, though, for the good-hearted Jews out there, people who don't subscribe to these kinds of theologies, or I wouldn't even say that. You can subscribe to the theology of Gentiles being half cattle or whatever. I'm not bothered about that. What I'm bothered about is the belief that that needs to be enforced in a way of life, in a way in which you judge between two people, that, you know, this, and that fraud against them is not fraud, that sleeping with their wives is not adultery, and so on. People who don't believe that that should be practiced, even if you believe that as an article of faith. I'll accept people believe. You can believe the moon's made of cheese. If you try to make me eat a piece of moon rock and tell me that I have to believe it's cheese, then we're going to be standing toe to toe, Daryl. People have to stand up and be counted. We've got a lot of people now out there.
Yep.
We need people in the Jewish community, even if they're going to be called self-hating Jews.
That's right.
To stand up and say, I've had nothing to do with this, I had no idea, and they do not act in my name.
That's
what we need to hear, not in my name.
Not in my name, that's right, Muhammad. You know, Muhammad, we do these broadcasts, you put a lot of your time out, you know, in order to set up time to do this, so you got to take time out of your Sunday and out of your life, And you know, I'm doing this almost constantly. I'm every waking hour, I'm putting some sort of effort in, and I got to say thank you for your efforts, because you bring a measured, logical approach to a lot of these subjects, and you know, this is heart-wrenching stuff, because we're not just talking events here; we're talking human suffering, and it's a growing quantity. It's a growing in quantity, the suffering in the world, And I fear for the autumn when things really start tipping over, the sheer numbers of people who are going to find their stomachs empty at bedtime, or children who are going to be cold in this next winter, and you know, there's going to be some real soul searching that's going to have to go on, just from people who listen to this program and the world itself. And I have to keep doing this as though people's lives depended on it, because it does. It does. Yeah. People's lives depend on this. And it's a job that I wish I didn't have to do every day. It makes me feel sad and sick to my stomach at times. But if I don't do it, who will? You know, we don't have a whole lot of people out there willing to put these kind of efforts in. Although, I appreciate people who are doing it. There are some out there. I need everyone in the listening audience, Muhammad, to start bucking up and doing more effort at passing this around so we can sort through these problems as quickly as possible. Yeah.
Indeed, it's certainly not too little. It looks like we're getting the numbers now, thanks to this information about the News Corporation and other places dropping off. The numbers are moving in the right direction. It's not too little, but it still may be too late, and that is obviously a concern.
Yeah. Well, Mohammed, thanks again for coming on, my friend. I appreciate everything you do for the French Connection and the world. You know, you're a great resource for everybody, and I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome, Darrell, and thank you for the opportunity.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's this Sunday edition of the French Connection. I hope it's been helpful to you. You know, if you're offended by my non-progressive attitude toward individual sexuality and the rest, just know this. You know, I know there are good people that happen to find themselves in the gay community and the rest. I'm not trying to say that I don't find value in you and your life. That's not what I mean. What I would like you to understand is that whole lifestyle and issue has been co-opted, and it has been used as a way to degrade and to destroy. And if you step back from the participation you have in that lifestyle and look around you and do a rational taking of accounts, you'll understand where I'm coming from. You know, mine is not to hate. I don't hate anybody for something that they have found themselves in. But what I do hate, and I will hate anyone who is involved in destroying the values of a family, because without family, we are nothing. We are just a bunch of rabid dogs running around in a pack. That's it. And we can't have it. We have to fix the problems. So, ladies and gentlemen, until the next time, this is Darrell Bradford Smith asking you all to take care of your families, and please, be well. Bye-bye now.